Grace is a concept that we revel in as Christians. Suffering is something that we clearly see through Scripture. We don't enjoy it. We don't like it. We don't ask for it. But I find more and more in counseling and in my own life, there is a disconnect and there's a struggle for Christians to connect these two things as they ought. Grace and suffering. And it would make a huge difference as you go through the suffering. We're not going to avoid suffering. There's no tricks or secrets or something. Now, people act like it sometimes. There's books written that way and conferences that are taught that way. But Scripture clearly teaches that we are going to suffer. In fact, it's part of our calling. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, Paul wrote and said, "To you it has been given not only to believe, but also to suffer for His name." And I could go on. There's just so many verses. Jesus in John 16, where He said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but I have overcome." So we don't get any indication from Scripture. So even the guys and the ladies on TV that are preaching and teaching this way, the ones with the hair swept back and the long lashes and the expensive little dogs and the fast cars, you know, they didn't get that from Scripture. They've pulled out a few verses that they've wrenched out of context and twisted horribly to put together this theology of health and wealth and blessing. It's like you cannot honestly arrive there reading the scope and sweep of Scripture. Even like the great, you know, even that sense of faith, because so many of them, the big deal is faith. If you had enough faith, you wouldn't have cancer. If you had enough faith, you wouldn't have this sickness. If you had enough faith, this daughter wouldn't be rebellious anymore. If you had enough faith, this marriage would be saved. Is there a place for faith? Absolutely. Do you see indications from Scripture where Jesus says, "Be it to you according to your faith"? Yes. Faith is important, that we put our faith in Him and in His Word. But faith is not some magical elixir, almost like if I rub on it long enough, just like a little lamp, out's going to come the results that I want. But that's how it's taught so often, and it leads to huge disappointments. One of the things that I think of is Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith, where you see these people by faith, they stop the mouths of lions, by faith this, by faith that, by faith. And it's very interesting to me. I don't know why they don't notice this. Verse 36 says, but some others were sawn in two. And it just goes on to list horrible things. And it doesn't say in the passage that they didn't have enough faith. They had faith also. And God in His sovereignty, for purposes that we may never fully understand, allowed these to suffer and these to triumph. Even like as you read through the book of Acts, you know, you'll see one apostle or disciple being beheaded. And you'll see another one, they're having a prayer meeting. I forget who it is. I probably won't get it right. It's Peter that gets out. Was it James that got beheaded? Somebody had just had their head taken off. Do you think they didn't have a prayer meeting for him? Nobody prayed. Nobody cared. That was the end of him. I don't think so. You can be praying, and then God sends an angel, opens the gate. Peter's let out. Peter knocks on the door of their prayer meeting. They can't even believe it. They won't even acknowledge that it's him. The servant girl, they say, "You're crazy. It can't be Peter." God has heard their cry, and Peter's released. But we go astray if we begin to think there's some trick. I got to get my arms around this. There's something in Scripture that if I fully understood it and began to practice it consistently, I could avoid suffering. That's not what you see from Scripture. So I want us to talk in this hour, and I want to give you from various scriptures, three ways that I think the grace of God can change our suffering. And so many times, what you're going to be doing in your counseling, to some degree or another, there's going to be an element of suffering. It may not always be disease. It may be just a broken heart and the suffering of a bad marriage, the suffering of the broken heart of what the kids are doing to this mother's heart. Suffering is almost always, to some degree, an element in counseling. Because when things are not right, we hurt. And usually that's the only time people come for help. So there's some hurting and there's some suffering. How should grace make a difference? How can you help them to get a hold of grace? It's one thing to say, "Well, the grace of God is there for you." How can you help them? That's what I want to talk about. These are not three ways that God's grace removes the suffering, but these are three ways that God's grace can improve the suffering. But they're going to need your help to see it and to stay focused on it. Because there is a constant drift away from grace and back to obsessing over the suffering itself. Now, you're going to see that time and time again. And that's why, as you counsel, I hope that you will learn to be comfortable with repeating yourself. You really need to get that. Don't think in terms of, there's all these things I want to communicate to her, there's all these things I want to communicate to him, and you've got them written in the front of your folder, and you checked it off, because Tuesday night, January 2nd, we went over that. Be ready to repeat yourself. Because especially when someone is hurting, there is a tendency to drift back towards obsessing over the hurt, the suffering, and they need to be reminded. To be reminded. There's a drift away from grace. So here's the first way. The grace of God changes what you think about the timing of your suffering. Most people that are sitting with you asking for help, to some degree or another, and they may be fooling themselves, many times we are, they would say, I'm okay with this if it just wasn't right now. It's the timing that's so bad, Pastor Brad. It's the timing. I can't believe this is going on now. I can't believe God would allow this now. This is the worst possible time for this. Honestly, the bottom line is, no time is a good time. We really just don't want it. But you're going to need to help them see how the grace of God can change your thinking about the timing. See, your suffering is always right on time. That's what you see from Scripture. Just like when we were talking about conflict, I think I read that quote from Tripp that says he never gets a wrong address. It's the same way with suffering. It's always right on time. That's why Peter, in his first letter to the church, said, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. Do not think it strange. No matter how many times we face suffering, we step into a trial, we tend to react the same way again. Just like, oh my goodness, what's this? I'm tithing. I'm leading a small group. I'm parking in the upper parking lot of the church parking lot. I'm leaving the closed spaces for pregnant people and elderly and visitors. God, I'm the one that you're supposed to preserve from suffering. These things shouldn't happen. This is strange. This is strange. And like it or not, none of us probably would articulate a theology like that. But we have it right here. We still have this innate sense good things should happen to good people. In a sense, even the people that are going hard after God. We are your nank people. You know? We're not liberals. Let the liberals suffer like this. Who, still say they're Christians, but they don't really hold to an inspired word of God. They're advocating homosexual marriage. Smite them, Lord. Give them the blight. And so there's this sense that as we go hard after God and we hold to the truth, that somehow we think we should be in a special position that we don't face suffering. But you don't see it from Scripture. Of anyone who went hard after God, who do we know that walked this earth that went the hardest after God, pleased Him the most, walked most closely in obedience? Who? Did He suffer? Yes. And were His followers to follow in His steps? It's just like there's this disconnect that we still, and I think it's hard because we live in a culture, especially in America, that has an entire industry, sadly, Christian industry, with Christian publishing houses, just pumping out teaching and books that try to convince us there's a way to avoid suffering. There's a way around this. If you'll just do these things, 7 secrets, 6 keys. And all the titles have something like that in them. But you don't get it from Scripture. Assure your counselees that what they're facing is not just random. It's not bad luck. It's not a case of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. There's not much hope in that. But that's not what Scripture teaches. You better be familiar with verses like 1 Thessalonians 3:3 that says that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. But we're shaken. No one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are, wow. You just don't see this cross-stitched on little shirts in the Christian bookstore. Do you? Well, let's think about it. Think about how much of Scripture gets ignored when it comes to major, our little ball caps and our t-shirts and the little Christian trinkets, ceramics that we put on the shelf. None of them have these verses on it. Well, I had a picture of a little precious moment person that's really suffering. Big tears.